From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us. Hope you're all staying warm and dry. We're pleased to welcome by phone Pat Holbus from St. John the Evangelist School in Carmichael, 5701 Locust Avenue in Carmichael. Pat, good day.
Hello. How are you today?
Doing wonderfully. How are you?
Great. Thank you.
You're having the 41st annual craft fair. You must be doing something right if this is the 41st annual.
You know, this is really a wonderful holiday tradition here at St. John the Evangelist School. Our parents and faculty work all year long to put this on, and the show is so big that it encompasses our entire campus. And by that, I mean we occupy 5 buildings and 10 classrooms.
No way.
Yep, we do.
Holy cow. Can you tell us what people were thinking before the first one?
You know, the Sisters of Mercy from Tralee were here.
Uh-huh.
And at that point in time, 40-some years ago, you know, they needed some funds to just pay for the very basics of running a school.
Mm-hmm.
So this show kind of was started to help them out, and we did make the decision, and it was probably the best decision that we made, was not to rush the Christmas season. And our idea about doing that was that we would wait until the beginning of Advent.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we did, and it was really great because people are serious about preparing for that wonderful December 25th date.
Was it always a craft fair?
Always. It has always been a craft fair. We actually jury for it, and we take pride in how great our vendors are. The quality of our crafts are really, really impressive. There are 100 vendors and artists here who offer a wide variety of gift items.
Wow. So people know right off the bat, Friday, December 6th, 5 to 9 p.m., and that's $5 at the door. But
correct.
Then on Saturday and Sunday, it's free. Saturday, December 7th, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Sunday, December 8th, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., and the address is 5701 Locust Avenue in Carmichael. How much older than 41 is the school?
Oh, my goodness. I think it's over 50 years old.
Uh-huh.
Right. You know, we're doing one other little interesting thing this year. We had a beautiful sleigh in the Carmichael Parade, a sleigh with Santa Claus on
uh-huh.
it. And we decided to try to use that at our craft fair. And what we did is we have this little note on all of our advertising saying, help fill Santa's sleigh, bring a pair of socks for the needy, enter to win a gift card. So that's something extra that's going to happen this year. And if people have a pair of new socks that they can bring, they can enter into a special raffle for a gift card.
You know, it's interesting. We talked to the people at Loaves and Fishes last week, and we
mm-hmm.
talked to them every couple, you know, 2, 3, 4 times a year.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I say, what do you folks need, the very first thing they say is socks.
Socks and gloves.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's so important.
Mm-hmm. And actually, that's one of the places that will benefit from this.
Oh, wonderful.
We will be distributing these socks to various needy organizations.
Very good. Well, you've tantalized us with all these vendors. Can you give us some samples of the kind of crafts people can expect?
Oh, absolutely. There is, of course, Christmas decorations,
mm-hmm.
toys and books for children. One lady who's been there for the last couple of years does something kind of unique. She wraps all of her gifts, and it's called Wrap Gifts to Go. So if someone's looking for something quick and easy that they can hand out at the office or to the neighbors, This is something that really is popular. There's home and garden decor, pottery, ceramics, antiques, collectibles. Probably one of our most popular things at the craft fair is the food rooms. Our classrooms are specialty shops, and we have a sweet shop, a gourmet food room, and gifts from the kitchen. So people really love this. A lot of those vendors do sampling. And I think one of the most popular things is the tamale booth. A lot of people line up to take their tamales home for Christmas.
Yeah, you better ban me from the free samples in the tamale room. I'll tell you,
people love it.
Yeah, I'll put on a mask and I'll change clothes. I'll come back and be a different person and get another sample.
Right. You know, we also have a silent auction. Santa Claus is there on Saturday and Sunday from 11 to 2, so the children can visit with him. We have a fashion pavilion for the ladies. They can enjoy looking at jewelry, clothing, purses, hats. It's a lot of fun. And we haven't left out the guys. We have a special room called the Man Cave, and it's all gifts for guys. So there's a lot to see. It's really a fun event.
Is there food available as well, other than the craft food?
Yes, we have two kitchens open, both in the Trolley Center and St. James Hall, and there is also a food court where people can buy hot dogs, pizza, kettle corn, things like that. So there's an awful lot to eat.
the four building blocks of life.
Right, got it.
Indeed. So how do people become a vendor at these?
The show is juried, which means we look at the quality of work and make sure we have a good variety. Each year, the first Wednesday in March, we have what's called an open jurying, and anyone who's interested in the following year, which 2020, they have to come the first Wednesday in March and show us what they have. And at that viewing, we actually take in 25 new vendors. And we do this to keep the show fresh.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So is there any homemade fudge?
Yes, there is homemade fudge, homemade candy. You've got it's there. I can tell you're coming to sample it, too.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am, and I'm bringing four teenagers with me.
Well, great. They'll love it.
So, again, it's Friday, December 6th, 5 to 9 p.m., Saturday, December 7, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Sunday, December 8, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., all at St. John the Evangelist School, 5701 Locust, that's L-O-C-U-S-T, Locust Avenue in Carmichael, 41st Annual Craft Fair. So blessings on all the folks there at St. John the Evangelist, and I know it's going to be another great event, and I hope to see you there.
And we hope you'll join us and help us carry on this wonderful holiday tradition. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Pat. God bless. Greatly appreciate it. That's Pat Hobliss from St. John the Evangelist. We'll take a quick break here, back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1000. 1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour.
Hi, this is Laura Lynn, Assistant Director for Lay Formation, and you are listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
That's me. Welcome back. And we are pleased to be joined in person by Jim McCormick, the president of the Sacramento Choral Society and Orchestra. You are the president.
Yes, and
you're not
CEO.
Being impeached or anything.
not that I know of. Can I get back to you on that?
Yes.
Good morning, Bob. It's great to be on your show.
Good to have you. Yeah. Good to have you with us. And so much happening, and it's everybody's favorite time of the year.
Yeah, I think.
And
exactly. I mean, there's the California Marathon on Sunday, but we have our own musical marathon on Saturday.
Yes,
Sacramento Choral Society and Orchestra. We're bringing our traditional program back to Memorial Auditorium, and Bob, it is the newly renovated Memorial Auditorium.
And recently celebrated its 90th anniversary, and then they decided, well, it's time to put some lipstick on this thing, although
exactly.
A little more than lipstick.
Yeah, some acoustical. They've improved the loading dock, better bathrooms, and new chairs on the main floor, and more comfortable seating in the dress circle, and some acoustic experiences that I think everyone's going to really enjoy. And not only that, Bob, big news here, ladies and gentlemen. In 1926, Sacramento installed a beautiful pipe organ in Memorial Auditorium. It never functioned very well, and only recently has the city invested more money to make the pipe organ. It's Este pipe organs built in Vermont. And this Saturday, you will make history if you join our performances, because Dr. Ryan Enright, our accompanist, we'll be unveiling the beautiful pipe organ within the orchestra at Memorial Auditorium. So it will have been almost 92 years since this instrument has raised its voice in that old building.
So it didn't function well, so did it just sit there and was it used at all,
there,
or did it just play bad music?
It sat there for 7 or 8 decades, and in the 1990s, they tried to rejuvenate it with no luck, and only recently with the renovation of the building have they said, wait a minute, this is history. We need to honor this old instrument. So
were there mice living in there?
Well, there were assorted creatures that were probably...
A couple of raccoons.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, I want to mention that because it's big news. It's really big news to have the instrument unveiled at the Wells Fargo Sacramento Choral Society and Orchestra's Home for the Holidays. This Saturday at Memorial Auditorium, we have a 2 p.m. matinee, and then we have a 7:30 p.m. evening concert. And there'll be free parking on the street if you can find it. And we have a headliner, a tenor, Chad Summers, joining us from the Bay Area. And we have the Green Valley Puppets that will be telling the story of Grinch. And the Sacramento Children's Chorus will be with us as our special guests. And we have this amazing opening, Bob, in darkness with candles, well, sort of candles. And we process down. We sing around the entire audience. And you've been at Memorial,
yes.
So you know that it's a very warm building. The U-shaped seating is really a warm atmosphere that we create. So it's large chorus, wonderful professional orchestra, all conducted by Donald Kendrick.
You know, I haven't gone back, and somebody must have written a book about Memorial Auditorium, I would think, some archivist.
There's a link I can point you to online about the history of the building.
I would love to.
And there's a fabulous link about the renovation, by the way. So I'll make sure that's on the Sacramento Choral website. So if people go there, then they can easily click on the history of.
I grew up here, and I remember there have been lots of graduations. I've never graduated there, but lots of high school graduations.
Festivals.
Yeah. Actually, there was one season where Sacramento State played basketball.
I believe that.
In the Memorial Auditorium.
Before 1985. Exactly. Roller derby. Boxing matches.
Boxing. Live boxing.
AIDA.
Yeah.
They used to keep the elephants down in the basement. And believe me, we know because we've been down in that basement a lot. Yeah. And there's certain remembrances of those elephants. Yes. So it's been the grand dame of the performing arts venues in Sacramento. And thank heavens they didn't tear it down in the 1990s.
Yeah, and you know, I remember back in the days when there would be a professional, like world championship boxing, back when boxing was kind of a big deal, and pay-per-view became you couldn't get it on your TV.
Oh, I see.
But you had to go to a theater or something.
Oh, I see.
Pay-per-view.
Yeah.
When Muhammad Ali and Memorial Auditorium was one of those sites.
Yeah, I believe it.
And
it was shortly after 1927 that the city dedicated the building in memory of all veterans. It was originally of the First World War, but then they realized, whoops, we have more wars coming down the pike.
Right.
So the building is dedicated to all veterans, and we have a good number of veterans that are our guests at this concert with their families.
Isn't that interesting? You know, we refer to World War One. One of my
Great War, right?
Teenage kids. Yeah. The other day said to me, "Dad, what did they call World War I before World War II?" And I'd never thought of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it was the Great War.
Yeah, the Great War. Exactly.
And like the war to end all wars.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. It wasn't supposed to be a World War II.
Exactly. So we hope to bring peace on earth with our wonderful music this weekend, Bob.
So I guess one of the... I'm not much of a historian, but I'm fascinated by history. It would be fun to see the city council debates about how much money is this thing going to cost us, and is it going to be a white elephant, not just the elephants you're talking about. Is it going to? Why do we need this? You know, and then people advocating for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would be fascinating.
Yeah, any time that there's a respect for something that is old, it puts a smile on our faces.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm really glad that the city, you know, yes, they can invest more, and they maybe will in the future. But it was quite a few million dollars that they invested. So it's a step in the right direction.
The city owns the building?
That's right, City of Sacramento.
And always has owned the building?
Part of the Convention Center Complex, mm-hmm. Memorial Auditorium, Community Center Theater, and Memorial Auditorium, yeah. So they do own it, and they work closely with us. So we rent the building from them now for 3 or 4 days for this weekend. And so the check will be made out to the City of Sacramento. Huh. And we're proud of how we've created good help with the economy. But the quality of the repertoire that Donald Kendrick programs, it's challenging for the orchestra members, it's refreshing for the chorus, and we'll even have an audience sing along, as you know, in the second half. And we are partnering with Make-A-Wish Foundation, a young fellow with a certain form of childhood cancer, Vinny. And he will be a surprise guest conductor.
Oh, wow.
Unbeknownst to Donald Kendrick. He's coming into, and Santa, of course, will be guiding him around. So we're pleased that we have this relationship with Make-A-Wish Foundation, as well as with KVIE. We work very closely with KVIE to make these big events happen.
Wow. And Wells Fargo has been part of this for quite a while.
Yes, Wells Fargo has the naming rights, and justly so. They've helped us for 8 years. And we have a wonderful source of support from Wells Fargo, and we don't take that for granted. And we invite other corporations to consider following Wells Fargo good example by sponsoring the arts.
Wow. Very good. Jim, you bring some music with you?
Yes, there's an amazing youngish American composer based out of Utah, Barlow Bradford. He's a professor at one of the universities there. And he writes these shimmering arrangements for choral orchestral teams. And the work that I'd like to start with is a very quiet work, Still, 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 the old Austrian carol. But the arrangement with the orchestra and chorus is stunning. So this is just a snippet of Barlow Bradford's Still, Still, Still.
Jim McCormick, the president of the Sacramento Choral Society and Orchestra, Wells Fargo Home for the Holidays at the newly renovated Sacramento Memorial Auditorium. Everybody knows where it is. It's on 16th and J?
15 J
Street, between 15th and 16th.
They have a Memorial Auditorium box office, and I happen to know that the number there for tickets is 916-808-5181.
And do you know your Social Security number, too?
Not quite.
I can't keep that many numbers in my head.
But and we will have some tickets available at the door, and we plan to have student rush seats for $10. That's a really good price, 1 hour before showtime.
And the performances are at 2 and at 7:30 p.m. this Saturday, December 7th. Jim, just a little more history. Was there a prime function in 1926? I mean, is it we're going to bring in concerts in?
They wanted it to be a multi-purpose sort of, I won't call it a performing arts center, but a multi-purpose center that could attract everything from sports to popular culture. And I remember we had one of our patrons a few years ago. She was in the building in 1948. When they announced that, correct me if I'm wrong, President Roosevelt had just died.
And 45.
And right. She was in the building, and she came to one of our concerts a few years ago.
Wow.
And she said she only learned about his death because they announced it at the concert.
Isn't that touching?
Wow. I forget her name now, but I was really moved by that. People have the strongest memories of that building.
Yeah.
Not just graduations, but festivals. Some people had their first kiss in that building, their first dance.
There's some photos in that building of
Memorial Hall.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
They're worth the price of admission to see the photos.
Really, ladies and gentlemen, I urge you to come on down and see what the city has done for that beautiful old Memorial Auditorium. Come and enjoy it.
When they built it in 1926, and I know you weren't around.
Almost.
you and me both. Did they think about acoustics? Is that something that goes into the?
I'm sure they did. You know, with the rounded arches, and they saw it's like a cavern. The second balcony goes on. It seats 3,847
right.
people.
Wow!
And it's the second balcony is huge. You know. And so you can be sure that they did. I mean, back then they didn't have the same technology, but they knew, like, lay off the carpet. Who needs that? You know, and the rounded arches, the pillars, the hard surfaces. So I think in their own way, they probably did.
Mm-hmm.
But they also had to create a space, like if you want to enjoy a roller derby, is there enough space on the main floor for them to terrorize each other? but you can be sure. And, it brings up the question of recording quality. I was talking to your wonderful assistant, Gabe, and, you know, the Choral Society and Orchestra has done a number of CDs, and we work with Living Sound, Stephen Bingham, and we very carefully, strategically place the mics for these live performances. So when you do a recording of a live performance, it's very honest because there's no tweaking and there's no second chance.
Right.
And if someone's cell phone goes off or if someone coughs or maybe a trumpet player might have a bad day, then it's on the recording. And we've done a number of them, and Gabe was commenting on the quality, the balance, the clarity of these recordings. And I must say that's something that we're very proud of, to take a concert, a live event, and memorialize it with these CD recordings that are also now up on Amazon and iTunes. So thank you, Gabe, for those comments.
You mentioned somebody's cell phone going off. I remember reading in the New York Times, it was, three, four, 5 years ago, where somebody's like front row at Carnegie Hall or somewhere, the cell phone went off, and the guy didn't realize it was his cell phone, and it just kept going. I think it was probably playing the Notre Dame fight song or something.
The bane of our existence, I assure you.
And whoever was the conductor finally stopped and had fun with it.
Oh, good, yeah.
It was so much fun with it that there was a whole story in the New York Times about
how it had been handled.
Yeah. And it was very amusing and very heartwarming.
At one point in the concert coming up, we're going to be singing a piece called Do You Hear What I Hear by Emily Crocker. And you can be sure I will probably mention that piece before the concert starts and urge them not to have the answer being my cell phone or the cell phone of my neighbor. So thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for turning your cell phones off.
But back to acoustics. Now that they've renovated it, was that...
You've
been in there before and after.
Yes, and so this is our first time being there with the new renovations. So they have these acoustic drapes that fall down from the second balcony, because really the first balcony and the main floor, that seats 1,800 people. That's quite big enough when you're trying to work with a building for two performances. Mm-hmm. So we'll have the drapes that are acoustically treated. They will drop so that we don't obliterate the second balcony, but it sort of makes it more intimate. We try to close it off a bit. There's baffles, there's clouds that the city has built over the choir that are acoustically treated and lights in between them. And then there's a treatment on the ceiling that's helping with the acoustics as well. So we are cautiously optimistic that we're going to hear and experience even a warmer sound with our large chorus and orchestra. So fingers crossed.
Wow.
I don't know who the patron saint of acoustics is, but...
We need to look that up.
Yeah, we will, for sure. After the show, ladies and gentlemen, everyone go and Google patron saint of acoustics.
I remember a few elections ago, I think it may have been Bush Gore, when they had the hanging chads.
Oh, yeah.
I think that was something where you hadn't punched through the ballot right or something,
and then the
thing was hanging. And it was a kind of a big dispute about the chads. And somebody said, who's the patron saint of elections? Oh. And it turned out it was Saint Chad.
Oh, my God. You couldn't have planned that. That's amazing. Yeah.
So you knew God was watching.
Exactly, yeah.
So, yeah. Again, the performances are at 2 and 7:30. When my kids were younger, the highlight were the Grinch puppets.
Yes.
I mean, I know you're a music guy, but those Grinch puppets...
They steal the show.
They do.
I mean, poor Santa, he has a hard time.
Yeah.
And they're back with a vengeance this year.
Yeah.
And then Chris Cook...
Have you ever seen a Grinch with a vengeance?
That's true. Yeah. But no, we're delighted to have them because kids young and old will be with us. So our Chad Summers, our tenor, will be the narrator in the Grinch. And you'd swear when you see the Grinch's mouth moving, of course, that it is the Grinch speaking and not Chad Summers.
Yeah.
So we'll have fun. But we have such a variety of great music, new and old, that's choral orchestral for this program. And the second selection, Bob, with your blessing, I would like to refer to the most wonderful time of the year.
Oh, good.
And, despite the ways of the world, it really is a wonderful time of the year. And it's not raining inside. That's what I tell people. So this is a work by Mark Hayes. He was born in 1953 in Wisconsin. wrote a lot of choral music, piano music, very well respected, and his orchestrations are second to none. So here's a snippet of The Most Wonderful Time of the Year.
Jim McCormick from the Sacramento Choral Society and Orchestra. Jim, the Choral Society and Orchestra, how old now?
24 years.
24
years. Next year's our big silver anniversary. And it's been an amazing ride. You know, we have 650 alumni who've sung with us. Current chorus is about 140, 55-member professional orchestra on our roster. And accountability, great programming, CDs, and then we've toured the world and put Sacramento on the map in a really good way. So it's quite a feather in our caps.
How do you have auditions every now and then? How do you form the chorus?
Right, throughout the year. In the early years, we only had them during the summer. But we learned that there's so much fluctuation in people's lives that they arrive in town in January and they want to be part of a large chorus. And they Google us and they find us because the word choral is in our domain, mm-hmm. sacramentochoral.com. So throughout the year, we hold auditions. People can go on our website and request an audition. And so we keep populating the choir. I'd say there's a turnover of about 20 to 25 every year.
People move
out of town, their lives change, their job, and they get transferred. And the choir, Bob, is getting younger. It's really fascinating. These millennials, God bless them all, they really want a sense of community that is real time.
Yeah.
Where we gather together every Monday night and we rehearse and we lift our voices together, we breathe together. It's really, I'm intrigued by the youthfulness of the choir, and that bodes well for our future. You know that?
So every week, it's quite a commitment.
Oh, my gosh. It's late August until about mid-May, 2.5-hour rehearsal. So it'd be like you working all day. Then at 7 o'clock, you come and we beat you up musically for a couple hours, 2.5 hours.
Do you meet on campus or somewhere?
No, we meet over at Our Lady of Assumption Church in Carmichael.
Oh, yeah.
They're very kind to
O-L-A.
Us. O-L-A. O-L-A. O-L-O-A. Or something. Yeah.
I always call it OLA.
Oh, no. O-M-G. O-L-O-A. And there's great parking, mm-hmm. and our members find their way there every Monday evening shortly before 7 o'clock. And we rehearse from 7 to 9:30. So this week we had our last rehearsal before we see the orchestra Thursday night. We see our orchestra. Friday we have this amazing children's matinee just for children. 2,000 excited school kids coming to Memorial Auditorium. just to celebrate for 1 hour. And we're really pleased because we've worked hard to chase the funding for that program. And we even secured buses for some of the schools. And then two concerts on Saturday. And Bob, you might have noticed on the postcard that on December 26th, we're going to have a Messiah sing-along.
Yes.
Yes, we decided to have it. We haven't had it for many years, and it will be at 21st and J, First United Methodist. Ryan Enright will be our organist, and he will be our orchestra. There are no soloists. When you come to this Messiah sing-along, you get to sing all the solo lines.
Oh, wow.
If you can.
If you can.
But just grab as many notes as you can. And so it will be on December 26th. It's a matinee. You know, when people are sitting around saying, hey, what, now that the gifts are opened, and we've been to Midnight Mass, hopefully, what will we do next?
Right.
And so the 2 o'clock matinee, tickets are available online at sacramentochoral.com. And I love the term, we say, bring your own Messiah.
Yeah.
So, score. And if you don't have your score, we have some at the door for you. So
December 26th, that's a Thursday.
Yeah, and it's also Boxing Day, Feast of St. Stephen's.
Yeah.
Good King Wenceslas may be joining us.
We'll
see. You know. So over and beyond Home for the Holidays, perhaps I can come on your show to talk up the Messiah sing-along.
Absolutely.
Later on type of thing.
Tell us a little bit about Chad Summers.
Chad is a young tenor. He did his doctorate in voice from Eastman School of Music. Mm-hmm. And Bob, Eastman is probably one of the greatest schools of music.
That's Rochester?
In Rochester. It's their big claim to fame.
Mm-hmm. New York, not Minnesota.
Yeah, thank you. Yes. And Chad recently graduated from the Eastman School. He's been to a couple of our performances, and we found him through a network, and I can't remember where, but he's been to our concerts, and we've heard him sing. Lots of personality. He moved to Manteca from Rochester, and his wife is there, and he's freelancing, and he's a strong tenor and a great showman, and a big personality. So he will really sell the Grinch. And when he sings "O Holy Night," bring your Kleenex, okay?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we have Chad Summers. So we're delighted to partner with him and Mr. Grinch and Make-A-Wish Foundation and the Children's Chorus. It's quite an operation, ladies and gentlemen, so we hope you'll come and be part of it.
Wow. I don't think I've ever met a famous singer from Manteca.
Well,
good for them.
Yeah, no, it's fabulous. And so we're delighted. He comes into town tomorrow, and he'll sing at the Children's Matinee as well. And so it's quite a team. I mean, when you think of distributing all that music to the orchestra members, all the different parts, and then outfitting our team with every choral piece possible. When you do the Verdi Requiem, you get one large piece of music. It's a piece of cake. But when you do Christmas, we've got all these shorter songs.
Mm-hmm.
And Donald Kendrick will speak in between sections, updating people on this repertoire and who was John Rutter, et cetera. So it's a great learning experience, and I might add that in the lobby, we will have a ladies' barbershop quartet in the lobby. Lobby entertainment by a group called Vibrance, and they have huge personalities, and their barbershop singing is just heartwarming. So that's the extra plus, too.
So with the orchestra, how many times do you get to have the choral group and the orchestra together at the same time?
That's a great question. You know, we send their music out a couple weeks before the concert so that we know that they're practicing. So Thursday night, tomorrow night, we get one rehearsal with them. Then we'll have the Children's Matinee live on Friday at noon. Then we'll have one more rehearsal Friday night. And then we lay down both concerts on Saturday. So essentially, we get 2.5 rehearsals. And for this repertoire, because they're pros, that's why you hire them. Mm-hmm. You know, they're such professional players, great musicians. So we basically will be with them for 2.5 rehearsals. Each rehearsal is 2.5 hours.
What's the hardest part about making that all mesh and work?
Parking. Almost, no,
yeah.
Not quite. I retract that.
I know a few times when we've been walking to the concert, parked a couple of blocks away, and here comes a guy carrying a big, I don't know what instrument it is, a harp.
I think coordinating, disseminating the music and making sure that all the parts are covered and that everyone's clear on the rehearsal schedule. They're very astute musicians, so they practice. And, you know, you rarely have to, when Don rehearses, our conductor, he knows what to rehearse and what not to rehearse and what needs attention. So I think disseminating the music and getting it out in a timely fashion to the orchestra and making sure that our members, like late October is when we started to rehearse this Christmas music after the stained glass concert. So it's a lot. It's to me, when you talk about the word team, I think the choral orchestral team is one of the best examples of people getting along, moving in the same directions, breathing together, playing together, inhaling, and just moving forward for our community. And, you know, our orchestra members, they play for tons of Christmas events, but they truly love the warm atmosphere in Memorial Auditorium and the warmth of the audience. Like, people come and they are glad to be there.
Oh, let me just say to anybody listening that if you have not been to this, it's really, you've hit it right on that. It's very warm.
It's the antidote to consumerism.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
And it makes you realize that there's magic in music. And then just the U-shaped seating alone, it creates that sense of community that we want all year long, not just in December. But for a while, it just feels good.
And there is a wonderful sense of community in there. It's like, we're all here.
Yeah.
We're all happy to be here. Mm-hmm. And we're all having a good time. Mm-hmm. And we just can't wait for the sing-along.
Yeah, and exactly, the second half. And people have warm memories of that. Like, they come with stars in their eyes. And a lot of them share stories. I was first here in 1962. Yeah. And so I love to have these stories. It's just great. Yeah. So we're proud of the way that we have built a wonderful downtown tradition in early December with the Wells Fargo Home for the Holidays.
So you've got all of these people. You've got how many people in the orchestra?
And there's 50 on stage this time.
50?
Yeah, 50 professionals.
And then you've got 140 or so.
And then about 30 children's chorus.
Tell us a little bit about the children's chorus.
Well, Alexander Grambau is the new music director there.
Sounds so almost like Alexander Graham Bell.
I know. And he rehearses a couple times a week with the children. They've been on stage with us now for about 20 years, and we've nurtured them over the many years. And they're proud young professionals that will be in the first two rows of the bleachers. They memorize everything. We have a lot more music to sing, so we don't quite get everything memorized, but you can just see their attention is on the conductor. They add a wonderful magic, of course, and they bring out the child in all of us. So they'll be intermittently performing right in the first half and the second half. They're a very well-disciplined crew, and they really do bond well with all of the players and the adults who are singing behind them. And it's a real joy. And what I'm pleased about is those children in the children chorus, there's lots of children in the audience, and they are great role models for the children in the audience who might be thinking about getting interested in the arts. Mm-hmm. So I commend the Sacramento Children's Chorus for their work here.
Wow. And how old are they?
They're between about eight. Eight would be pretty well the youngest, and as old as maybe 15 years old, mm-hmm. 15. Now, my voice didn't change till I was 28, but just kidding. But so we're delighted to have them, and we have nurtured them over the years, and we're proud to continue to do so.
Yeah, voice change. It's funny. One of my sisters called on Thanksgiving, just called to say, happy Thanksgiving. And my son, who's 14 and has always sounded like he's a little boy, answers the phone.
Baritone.
And my sister talked to him for 5 minutes and thought she was talking to me.
I believe it. Yeah, yeah, that baritone sound, it lowered.
Overnight.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Exactly.
So you have another small music for
us? Know, Bob, you can't think of Christmas music without hearing the name John Rutter, English composer. And so we'd like to regale our listeners with this rendition of O Holy Night. And I believe the performer is Tevi Ditter from 2013. O Holy Night by John Rutter.
Sin and terror abiding till he turn it off.
Yeah, you know, when you shut the lights down in Memorial Auditorium and you have a soloist like that with the orchestra and chorus, you think maybe you're experiencing something that's larger than all of us.
Yeah, you know, it's the interesting thing, and I know that we don't associate very many holidays with music, mm-hmm. Other than Christmas, but it's amazing to me that we have, you know, we have the, you know, some the one we heard, the most wonderful time of the year.
And yeah,
got the Burl Ives, yeah. You know, I saw, and then you know, I yeah, and you know, I saw Mama Kissing Santa Claus and all these you know, all these sort of secular type things, and then you hear O Holy Night or Silent Night or Away in a Manger or Little Town of Bethlehem, and just on and on and on and on with the very religious aspects, which is obviously what the day is all about, and it pulls you back and just puts tears in your eyes, like, oh, this isn't fun and games. This is
These composers were inspired.
Right.
You know that by the text and some of the arrangements. I mean, that's what I'm proud of, that Don Kendrick spends the year chasing down really quality arrangements, because you want to challenge the choir, certainly challenge the orchestra, but also a certain amount of entertainment for the audience without me dummying down, you know. And so the combination of chorus and orchestra singing quality repertoire that people are glad to play and sing and hear. It's one of our hallmarks, I think.
Yeah, the thing that I've always wondered, and you know, we've been fortunate to talk to Don Kendrick a few times, and he's always very generous with his time after the concert, posing for pictures with people, and we've got some family pictures of them that are very special to us.
And, that's great.
But I think of it from his standpoint, from your standpoint, from the performer standpoint. It's like, well, we can't do Jingle Bells again. We've done that 40 years in a row, you know, kind of thing. And yet, as an audience member, you want Jingle Bells. You want Away in a Manger.
Yeah.
You want Silent Night.
Yeah.
You want all the I mean, that's what it's like not having turkey at Thanksgiving,
sure.
You know. So you want that, and yet, as a on the other side of it, I think that you want something, not the whole concert, but something new, something different, something original. How do you make those choices?
Well, Don is a great networker, and he really does a great job of staying in touch with other choruses and orchestras. And, you know, thanks to the internet, of course, we really find out who are the up and coming young composers that are writing quality repertoire that's respected around the world. And yes, we repeat. Like last year, I think we did Sleigh Ride, Leroy Anderson's Sleigh Ride. The years that we don't do it, you should see the mail we get from people.
Oh, really?
You didn't do Sleigh Ride last year.
Yeah.
So guess what? This year, we're doing Sleigh Ride. This year, we're doing Handel's Alleluia Chorus.
Oh, wow.
Because we took a year or two off, and we heard about it. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're listening to you.
Yeah.
But you're right, and it's a challenge. But Don does a great job of locating the new repertoire that sort of it stimulates us, and it challenges us, and it really does enhance the listening experience of the patrons.
It's interesting how some, I'm sure there's been thousands of Christmas songs written, and somehow some of them have become classics.
Yeah.
Must sing, must hear.
But
and others that just kind of fall by the wayside.
But it's the orchestra. Like, a lot of groups will play, they sing a cappella, they have brass, they might have organ, they might have piano. But to find great repertoire that has orchestral accompaniment, that's refreshing, that's the challenge. And a while ago, the Dallas Symphony used to lead the way on that. You know, they had their in-house composers. And so I want, ladies and gentlemen, to understand that we're limited, because to find quality orchestral arrangements of these Christmas tunes, that's the challenge. And we're finding them, you know. It's a mixture, you're right. It's the balance of new and old. And people do it, especially they like to have a bit of tradition at Christmas, something that they can hang on to, that they relate to from their childhood.
So you're on Jeopardy, and the category is Christmas music. Okay.
Oh boy.
And the double Jeopardy question is: what is the most famous Christmas song? What would the correct answer be?
It probably still is Silent Night.
Silent Night.
I would say that, or maybe Joy to the World.
Oh, you know, forgot all about Joy to the World.
Yeah.
But, you know, because who sang it? Joy to the World. You know, it's funny how we have all these takeoffs on it.
Not Leroy Brown, right?
No, that's right.
But we have a great variety. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Sacramento Choral Society and Orchestra's Wells Fargo Home for the Holidays performances this Saturday, December 7th at 2 and 7:30 p.m. Tickets are available at the door, but also online or at the Memorial box office. The phone number there is 916-808-5181, and we would love to have you join us.
Yeah, and you talk about the Memorial Auditorium. It is Pearl Harbor Day.
Oh, that's right. Talk about a celebration. Yeah.
And you say it was built originally to honor all the veterans of...
I'm glad you reminded me of that, Bob. Yeah. Everything. So it promises to be a meaningful experience. And, you know, plan to arrive a bit early to make sure that you can, you know, chase down parking. But most people are able to, you know, they know the grid downtown and they can find parking nearby.
You were saying that a woman at the memorial, I just remembered when they announced that FDR had died. My dad tells us the story of December 7th. He and mom were at a bullfight in Mexico City on their honeymoon. And he was on terminal leave. He had served five. He'd been in ROTC at Oregon State. He had served 5 years in the Army. He was on terminal leave. He was done. He was gotten married. They were going to move back to Portland and start their family, and they announced that Pearl Harbor had been
bombed. Amazing?
And he looked at my mom and
said, "What a honeymoon.
I'm going back in."
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That was a short-lived celebration.
And like you say, the greatest generation.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So we will, but we will celebrate. For me, it's the warm sense of community.
Yes.
And that's what live music, thank God for live music, because it still has meaning. And it's different when you experience live music than when you play that on your favorite CD player. I urge people to support live music. So this Saturday at Memorial Auditorium, come and add some meaning to your life with this wonderful concert.
7:30. I just got a letter the other day. A guy was at a college football game, and he said, "You know, we wanted to hear the school band, and all they're doing is blaring this music on the loudspeakers." You know, they wanted live music.
Yep. No, and we're representing Sacramento very well with the combination of the orchestra members that we have and our singers.
And again, a reminder too, and the memorial box office is 916-808-5181, tickets.com or sacramentochoral.com for tickets. Some tickets will be available at the door.
Yes, it's a large building.
And just a quick reminder, the Messiah Sing-Along, December 26, 2 p.m. with Ryan Enright, organist, First United Methodist Church at 2100 J Street in Sacramento, not far from the Memorial Auditorium.
Not at all, exactly.
And then just so you can circle the date, the week from Saturday, December 14 at 8 p.m., Sunday, December 15 at 2 p.m., the annual From Heaven on High, celebrating the beauty and joy of Christmas with Sacred Heart Schola Cantorum, again with Donald Kendrick, conductor, Ryan organist, Ryan Enright, should be just Ryan organist, Ryan Enright, the organist, Beverly Hone, the harp, and Ruth Burrows in the oboe. That's Sacred Heart Church, 39th and J in Sacramento. Jim, take us out to
thank you, Bob.
To break. Thank you for all you do.
Our pleasure. And it wouldn't be a complete wonderful evening if we didn't hear from Mr. George Frederick Handel. So we'll go out with the famous Alleluia Chorus by Handel.
Oh, God.
the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Ministry of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details